In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father, Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Under the form of bread, humble, accessible, we believe, Lord, that you are here, really, truly, and substantially present with your body, your blood, your soul, and your divinity. It's a formula from the Council of Trent hundreds of years ago, summing up what the Eucharist is, the miracle of your continuing presence with us, Lord, under the form of bread, to be our food, to be our strength, to be our consolation. I'd like to pray this evening about the scene of the woman at the well in Samaria who meets Jesus there. And those beautiful words of Jesus, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you only knew the gift of God. And we can say to Jesus here, Lord, increase my faith so I don't fail to recognize the gift of God who's with us, who's come into the world. If you only knew the gift of God. Because only he can give us the possibility and hope of eternal life. Only you, Lord, promise us eternal life. No one else on this earth can promise us or even comes close to trying to offer us eternal life. Let's go to that scene of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Let's watch how Jesus deals with her. Let's enter into that dialogue ourselves, because the same Jesus is here now with us, and you and I can be that person who approaches him right now, dragging our buckets, somewhat tired out, somewhat discouraged, as we approach him right now. Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. St. John gives us lots of details of this true event. Jesus has been walking all morning in the hot sun. Now it's noon, they reach a well. The apostles go into the town to buy food. They leave Jesus there alone. The well is a key social institution. You can imagine the Middle East, it's a desert place. Even today, you fly over to the Middle East, it's very dry, except when you come over Israel, it's all green, because they know how to irrigate. But this is a hot, dry area, and for them, the well was a gift of God. Water is necessary for all forms of life, human, animal, agricultural life. That well was essential for them. It was the gift of God to them. Everyone needs to go to that well to get water to keep themselves physically alive. And spiritual authors, including Saint Jose Maria, point out that this is an important scene for us too, because we see that Jesus was like us in everything but sin. We see that you, Lord, need to rest, that Jesus got tired out. He got hungry. He was thirsty. We don't have a God who doesn't understand us. You, Lord, know all that we go through. We can talk to him at times, and he will understand us. We can tell him, Lord, I'm fed up with my life, my situation. He knows what it's like to be despised, to be spit upon, to be hated. He knows what it's like. We can talk to him and say, I've nothing left. I ache all over. We can go to him and unburden our hearts, sure that he's listening right now. It's important not to keep just going on alone, just kind of, you know, repressing what's inside of us, our fears and anxieties, to bring them before him. Don't just keep going alone. Bring your cares before him. He understands. Today, in this time of prayer, the same Jesus is waiting for you at the well. He comes looking for you right now. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The Samaritan woman said to him, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. The Samaritans had mixed with pagans many centuries before, had broken off from the Jews, had broken off from Jerusalem. And there was real hatred between these two groups. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who was saying to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This woman is clearly a wounded woman. She's been married 5 times, the story tells us. And now she lives with a man who's not her husband. And so we can see this woman, weighed down by her own difficulties, perhaps abused in those relationships, ashamed, embarrassed. Actually, commenting on this scene, spiritual authors often say that the women of the town would have all gotten up early in the morning and gone out together to the well. The fact that this woman goes alone at noon shows that she was considered an outcast by the other women of the town. And ultimately, this woman was without hope for herself, for her life, for her future. Perhaps she even had that deep sense that's so damaging of self-loathing. I'm a failure, a disaster. I hate my life. I hate myself. She has no hope. There's really not even a glimmer of light left in her heart. She doesn't expect to find anyone at the well that day at noon. But it is there that she encounters Jesus alone, waiting for her. And you've come here today, each one of you, excuse me. Perhaps you didn't really expect to meet Jesus here either. But he's here waiting for you now. It's a time for you to open up your hearts to him. Perhaps you too have come here weary, weighed down with problems you can't solve, frustrations, fears, maybe even some self-loathing like the woman. I don't like my job. I can't get ahead. I'm not as good as others. I'm going nowhere. I'm at a dead end in my career, my family. I'm a fraud, a failure, as a husband, as a father, as a Catholic. I don't know where I'm going. At a certain level, Lord, all of us are in that boat. They say the devil was having a garage sale, and all the items were rather reasonably priced. But there was one item there that was very, very expensive. And somebody said, well, why is this thing so expensive? And he said, well, that's the devil's most powerful tool, his most potent weapon. And it's called discouragement. It's very effective in stopping people from moving ahead, from beginning again, from trying harder. And discouragement really holds us in chains. It can hold us back from being the man that you want us to be, you need us to be, that other Christ, Lord, that you want me to be. Discouragement says you can't do it. You'll fail. Don't even try. It's too hard. No one's going to listen. Only Jesus, only you, Lord, can give us real hope. Only Jesus can open up new horizons of hope for us when our heart, when our life looks totally bleak. Only you, Lord, can break those chains of discouragement. And so we learn from you. Where there is life, there is hope. And this is the message of the well. Where there's life, there's hope. Because we turn to Jesus, we find that. That love, that forgiveness, that affection. His love can overcome all darkness, all evil, all sin in our lives. That's the lesson of the well today. Jesus takes initiative. He breaks through the custom that Jews treat Samaritans like dirt, and vice versa. Jesus sees a soul, an immortal soul, a child of God, who is wounded, trapped by sin, chained by sin. And with his words, he teaches us, she is worth all my blood. He is going to die for her. She is worth that much to him. And as Saint Jose Maria used to say, he would die for you if you were the only one on earth. You mean that much to him. And if you don't believe it, why would he come and remain under the form of bread? Why would he die on a cross? You mean that much to him. You were not just a hyper-evolutionized piece of matter. You were made in his image and likeness, individually, unique, by God. And he made you to love you, and he made you to love you for all eternity in the glory of heaven. Do you believe it? This is God's plan, and it's the beginning of hope. As he begins to speak to her, a glimmer of hope, of light, enters her heart. And we can say to our Lord, Lord, help me have your heart. Sometimes we label people. We judge people. We despise people. Look at her. See how she dresses. Look at her, at their lifestyle. Look at their sinfulness. Lord, help me to look at others with your eyes. Not to judge, but to forgive, to pray for them, so that they repent and turn their lives around. May I learn from you at the well, Lord, never to speak badly of anyone. If I can't praise, say nothing. The woman says to him, Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks? Jesus begins to speak of the living water in a metaphor about the action of the Holy Spirit inside of us. After Pentecost, the Holy Spirit floods into the world like a mighty river that can't be stopped, in a great abundance, making us children of God when we're washed in the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit is a source of all life. Jesus is talking about a new well and eternal life. The grace of the sacrament of confession washes us clean and makes us pristine once more. The Eucharist makes us grow in love to be an image of Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, all men and women are made equal before God and make up one family. The woman says, Sir, give me this water. She doesn't quite get it yet, so that I may not have to be thirsty and come here to draw water. Then Jesus changes the conversation and goes even deeper. He touches the very painful wound she has, as only God can do it, because only God can heal her. He says, Go and call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. It's kind of a cute kind of answer. I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, You're right in saying I don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said, Sir, I can see you are a prophet. I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who called is the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. And then Jesus says, and perhaps this is the only time in the scriptures where he really says it, one-on-one with this woman, I, who am speaking to you, am He. The woman is ecstatic. She leaves her water jar, runs back into the town, tells people, come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She's full of joy. We don't know any more details of Jesus forgiving her sins, but we know that she's washed clean by Jesus in that water of forgiveness. We know that the whole town comes out and believes in him because of her word. And she's overjoyed to have found the Messiah. Her dignity is restored. She's a new person. When she arrived, she was dragging her buckets. Now she throws them down and runs excitedly like a young girl back to the town to tell everyone about the Messiah. Tonight, you have found Jesus sitting next to the well. He's come on a long, tiring journey to find you. He offers you great hope. eternal life, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says, give me to drink, you would ask him to give you living water. If we recognize him here, we'll bring to him all of our needs, all of our concerns, all of our worries, and place them in his hands, if we recognize him here. Jesus doesn't promise us earthly success, but eternal life. Raise up your eyes. Her life was a mess, but now it was totally new. She knew God's love and forgiveness. She knew she had a real home awaiting her in heaven. You will go home tonight to the same you, the same family, the same work and mess, the same wife, same kids, same dirty garage, same dining room table loaded with bills. But it can all be different because you go there as Christ to bring his joy and his love and his message. You go there filled with joy and peace that the world cannot give. You go there with your buckets filled with new hope, with new water, a new outlook, a new life. Because he told you if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him and he would give you living water. A new hope, a new vision for your ordinary work, for your ordinary family life. My brother, keep going back to the well, and you will always find him there. And perhaps you'll find another woman there too, his mother, Mary, who will take you by the hand and make sure that you don't lose the way. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.